Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 376, A View from the Bridge, being recorded on September 1st of 2002. Within a week of this broadcast, a detailed annotated article-length description of For the Record program 376 will be available in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. That description will contain lengthy excerpts of text, and it should be noted that the Spitfire website is equipped with real audio. Each week, there are 2 half-hour segments available, and one should note that in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there are links to 2 different URLs maintained by sister station WFMU. More recent programs are streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory, and there are older programs available for download only, also on Real Audio at a longer URL linked to both the wfmu.org/Dave Emery website and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Now to the View from the Bridge. We're going to be taking a look at 2 people, one now deceased, and the other unfortunately still alive, whose activities could be said to illustrate the parameters, the enormous parameters of the events in and around September 11th. Those people are Talat Atman, a director of Harkin Energy, a person who sat on the board with George W. Bush. The profits from Bush's Harkin sales went to finance, in part, his purchase of the Texas Rangers baseball team. And the other person is François Genoux, deceased as of 1996, a key Nazi banker and Nazi intelligence operative. And even though he died in 96, his name has cropped up in connection with September 11th in a number of different contexts. Now, turning once again to the Wall Street Journal, this is an article that we looked at. By the way, most of the articles in this half of the broadcast, or most of the elements of information, have been discussed in previous broadcasts, but they've never been brought together in a single broadcast. And I'm trying to do that in this one in order to sort of establish the view from the bridge. Again, this is where the Texas Rangers meet Al-Qaeda and Adolf Hitler. The Wall Street Journal of April 18th of 2002 had an article by Glenn R. Simpson and with Roger Turo, O'Neill met Muslim activists tied to charities. This refers to a meeting that Muslim activists, including Talat Atman, worked out with Treasury Secretary O'Neill to express their extreme dissatisfaction with the Treasury Department's seizure of assets of a number of different organizations alleged to be Al-Qaeda funding conduits. I have noted in past discussion of this element that these are very complex relationships. They are done to be deliberately invisible to the discerning eye, or at least to make wrongdoing invisible. The organizations have interlocking directorate, overlapping capital participation. They often share the same addresses or are right next door to one another. I have described this in the past as an Islamo-fascist Enron. And bear in mind that many of these connections go to the milieu of Youssef Nada and Al-Taqwa, based in Lugano, Switzerland, also the operational base for many years of the Thyssen-Bornemisza branch of the Bormann organization, the Thyssen-Bornemisza family, with strong links to Union Banking Corporation, the Bank for Handel and Scheepvaart. And as we looked at in For the Record 370, that represents sort of the Dutch treat pivot point for the Bush family's involvement with the Nazi money machine and the Bormann organization. Now, turning to Talat Atman and his intercedence with the Treasury Department on behalf of organizations and individuals whose assets were seized on March 20th by the Treasury Department. Key names here, Jamal Barzinji, the Islamic Institute that was set up by Grover Norquist, a key GOP operative with Khaled Safouri, Talat Atman, and Jamal Barzinji, in turn linked to Al-Qaeda, allegedly, and also to Youssef Nada. They are on the board of directors of the Islamic Institute. I would note that with people like Grover Norquist and Safouri, Talat Atman, and the rest of the milieu here, we are seeing an Islamo-fascist element sort of glommed on to the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, which in the past has been a repository for Nazi and fascist elements who were a Third Reich alumni. Two of the common elements elements were domestic anti-Semitism. These were seen as counterweights to the Jewish support for the Democratic Party, and also anti-communism abroad, with the Galen spy milieu and the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Having graduated from the Third Reich to Western and U.S. intelligence services, they were utilized against communists in the past, and more recently with the anti-Soviet war in Afghanistan, many of these Wahhabi-linked Islamo-fascist elements were able to find common cause with this same milieu. Again, anti-Semitism in the U.S., anti-communism abroad. Of the relationship between Khaled Safouri, Grover Norquist, the Islamic Institute, Safa Trust, and the world of Talat Atman, we read, again from the Wall Street Journal of April 18th, Mr. Atman also is on the board of Mr. Safouri's and Norquist's Islamic Institute, the GOP-leaning group that received $20,000 from the Safa Trust, one of the raid's targets. The president of the Safa Trust, Jamal Barzinji, is a former business associate of Switzerland-based investor Youssef Nada, whose assets were frozen last fall after the Treasury designated him a person suspected of giving aid to terrorists. By the way, one of his key aides in the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, Samir Salah, is also linked to Youssef Nada. And in addition, we're going to take a look at Ali Galeb Himat and also a fellow named Al-Hassan Talib, both of them Nada associates as well, both of them also targets of the March 20th raids, and the interdiction of those raids was attempted by Talat Atman, apparently successfully. Continuing with this discussion, Mr. Atman has ties to the Bush family going back to the 1980s when he served with George W. Bush on the board of a Texas petroleum firm, Harkin Oil and Gas Incorporated. Mr. Atman has visited the White House during the administrations of both President Bush and his father, George H. W. Bush. Now, in For the Record 356 and in 357, we took a look at the Clearstream Network, which in turn helped to fund BCCI and was also alleged by Ernest Bacchus, who helped to set up the Clearstream Network. It also was used to fund Bank Altaqua or Nada Management and the Banco del Gotardo. The Clearstream Network is owned by Deutsche Börse, in turn owned by the major German commercial banks, and in the background of those, inevitably, you guessed it, the Bormann Group. More about the links between the March 20th Operation Green Quest raids and the people targeted in those raids and their institutions and the milieu of Altaqua. And again, Talat Atman interceded on their behalf. This is from the Wall Street Journal of March 22nd of 2002. It's titled, Funds Under Terror Probe Flowed From Offshore. It's co-authored by Glenn R. Simpson and Michael M. Phillips, again from the Wall Street Journal of March 22nd. More about the targets of those raids, and again, it was Talat Atman who interceded on their behalf with Treasury Secretary O'Neill. These included Altaqua Management, a recently liquidated Swiss company the U.S. government believes acted as a banker for Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist network. Two people affiliated with the companies and charities are linked by records to entities already designated as terrorists by the U.S. government. Hisham Al-Talib, who served as an officer of SAR, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, and Safa Trust Incorporated, another Mirza charity during the 1970s, was an officer of firms run by Youssef M. Nada, records show. Mr. Nada is a Switzerland-based businessman whose assets have been frozen by the U.S. for alleged involvement in terrorist financing and is alleged by U.S. officials to be a key figure in the Taqwa network. Jamal Barzinji, an officer of Mr. Mirza's company Marjak and other entities, was also involved with Mr. Nada's companies in the 1970s, according to bank documents from Liechtenstein. A message was left yesterday from Mr. Barzinji at his address in Herndon, Virginia. Mr. Barzinji and Mr. Talib live across the street from each other. A third business associate of Mr. Nada, Ali Galeb Himat, who also has been designated by the Treasury as aiding terrorism, is listed as an official of the Geneva branch of another charity operated by Mr. Mirza, the International Islamic Charitable Organization. So four different links to the Altaqua Youssef Nada milieu in the March 20th raids, and we have Talat Atman, business partner of George Bush, interceding on their behalf. One of the links between the world of Talat Atman and the world of François Janoux, the late François Janoux, was the Clearstream Network. That is an international financial network that is wholly owned by Deutsche Börse and that was set up in part by Ernest Bach as a European expert on money laundering. We've relied on Bacchus's efforts in a number of different broadcasts, and for the record, 357, Ernest, and in 356, Ernest Bacchus described the relationship between the Clearstream Network and the BCCI, and according to Bacchus, Clearstream was used for many of the key BCCI connections, and the milieu of the BCCI is, as we looked at in Side 1, directly connected to the milieu of Abdullah Bakhsh and Talat Atman, as well as to that of George Bush. What we're going to look at next concerns the connections of François Janoux to this same milieu. Now, François Janoux was a key Third Reich operative, both in its above-ground and underground phases. He committed suicide in 1996, and yet his name has cropped up in connection with September 11th in a number of different contexts. We're going to begin by reviewing a short section that we've looked at in For the Record 354 and in programs 356 and 357. This is from the mysterious Ahmed Huber, friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden. It's authored by the brilliant Kevin Coogan, the author of Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey in the Postwar Fascist International. This article was originally published in Hitlist Magazine's issue of April and May of 2002, Volume 3, Issue Number 4. And of Ernest Bacchus and François Janoux, Coogan writes, Ernest Bacchus, a leading European expert on money laundering, told the Luxembourg-based financial journal Plus Minus that he believed that the 9/11 terrorist money trail would ultimately lead back to Swiss bank accounts set up by an organization founded by Janoux. Reports of a possible Janoux trail cite the involvement of a Swiss lawyer named Baudin Dunant on the investment committee of the Geneva branch of the Saudi Investment Company, or SECO, which handles much of the Bin Laden family's investments. And we're going to talk more about François Janoux and his close connections to Ahmed Huber and also to the milieu of the Muslim Brotherhood, and we've looked at that in the past. But reviewing the discussion by Ernest Bacchus of Clearstream, its links to Al-Taqwa and to the Banco del Gotardo and, as we've seen in the past, BCCI and Baudin Dunant, we read as follows, and this is from Banking with Bin Laden by Lucy Commissar. I mispronounced her name in the past. It's a sidebar to Explosive Revelations from In These Times issues of March 15th of 2002. We've looked at this in 356 and 357. In November, U.S. authorities named some banks that had Bin Laden accounts, and it put them on a blacklist. One was Al-Taqwa, fear of God, registered in the Bahamas with offices in Lugano, Switzerland. By the way, parenthetically, and I suspect not incidentally, also the headquarters for the Thyssen-Bornemisza operation for decades. Continuing, Al-Taqwa had access to the Clearstream system through its correspondent account with Banco del Gotardo in Lugano, which has a published Clearstream account number 74381. But Bin Laden may have other access to the unpublished system as well. In what he called a spectacular discovery, unquote, Ernest Bacchus reports that in the weeks before CEO Andre Luci was forced to leave Clearstream last May, a series of 16 unpublished accounts were opened under the name of the Saudi Investment Company, or SECO, the Geneva holding of the Saudi Bin Laden Group, which is run by Osama's brother Yaslam Bin Laden. Some family members spell the name differently. Yaslam Bin Laden insists that he has nothing to do with his brother, but evidence suggests SECO is tied into Osama's financial network. SECO is associated with Dar al-Mal al-Islami, an Islamic financial institution also based in Geneva and presided over by Prince Mohammed al-Faisal al-Saud, a cousin of Saudi King Fahd, that directs millions a year to Islamic fundamentalist movements. DMI holds a share of the Al-Shamal Islamic Bank of Sudan, which was set up in 1991 and partly financed by $50 million from Osama bin Laden. Furthermore, one of SECO's administrators, Geneva attorney Baudin Dunant, is a partner in a law firm, Magnin Dunant and Partners, that set up the Swiss financial services company SBA, a subsidiary of the SBA Bank in Paris, which is controlled by Khaled bin Mahfouz. Mahfouz's younger sister is married to Osama bin Laden. And again, bear in mind that the legal counsel for Saudi Bin Laden Group is Sullivan and Cromwell, the old Dulles law firm that was also agitating to have the Treasury Department standards on money laundering relaxed as well. One wonders how far back the Saudi Bin Laden Group Sullivan and Cromwell connection goes. But now, bearing in mind the Clearstream connections to Altaqua and Banco del Guitardo, we're going to review some discussion of the relationship between Ahmed Huber of Altaqua, and we've spoken about Ahmed Huber in numerous past broadcasts, most recently with Kevin Coogan in For the Record 371. We're going to review a short section of the book Dollars for Terror, subtitled The United States in Islam, published in soft cover by Algora Press, authored by Richard LaBeviere, and translated by Martin Demers. The ISBN number is 1-892941-06-6, and you can visit the Algora website at www.algora.com. Of the Huber-François Genoux relationship, we read, and bear in mind Huber's connections to Altaqua. He's a director of Altaqua. During his many tribulations, Ahmed Huber became acquainted with a neo-Nazi banker, François Genoux, whose path in life represents a singular summary of the interconnections, the specific alliances that have been tied and untied between Islam and the swastika. Pierre Payen, who thoroughly studied the parallel lives of this enigmatic destiny, interviewed Ahmed Huber at length. Ahmed Huber explained to him that he is sympathetic to François Genoux because, quote, everyone jumps on him, unquote. Still referring to the neo-Nazi banker, Ahmed Huber told Payen, quote, I never asked him any questions, but I noted that in circles as different as the German right, the Islamic movements of Asia, the Palestinians, and in the Maghreb, people speak of him with great respect. Everyone told me he helped us. I have the impression that he played an important, though discreet, role. It was I who introduced him to the Iranians. I said to them, he is a friend, you can trust him. Here in Switzerland, he was very active in opposing the anti-racist law inspired by the Zionists who wanted to criminalize, quote, revisionism, unquote. Genoux was with us. Officially, we lost, but by such a small margin that the law is not applied. And again, François Genoux, the heir to the literary works of Martin Bormann, Joseph Goebbels, and Adolf Hitler, a friend of the Grand Mufti, and a key Third Reich operative before, during, and after World War II. François Genoux is one of the most important people in the world of post-World War II terrorism, and an individual, again, whose activities breach the role of, or breach the worlds, unite the worlds of Middle Eastern, quote, terrorism, unquote, and also the world of the Third Reich. And we've looked at Genoux in numerous broadcasts in the past, including, For the Record, 333. We've got a very good discussion, by the way, of Genoux in one of the chapters of Kevin Coogan's Dreamer of the Day. Now, when François Genoux was tried by the French for terrorism in 1983, he was represented by Baudin Dunant, who, again, is the co-chairman of the board of directors of Saudi Investment Company, the holding European investment company of the Bin Laden financial network. I believe that this is a very important connection because when François Genoux would have stood trial for terrorism, he would have made very, very sure that his counsel would have been someone who knew where all the bodies were buried, so to speak. He would not have had someone working on his legal behalf who was not aware of all of the different twists and turns, and I believe this is a very important connection. Turning to the book In the Name of Osama Bin Laden by Roland Jacquard, subtitled Global Terrorism and the Bin Laden Brotherhood, published in soft cover by Duke University Press, copyright 2002, and the ISBN numbers will be in the description on the Spitfire website. The projects awarded to the Bin Laden Group are no longer limited to the Saudi Kingdom. In Lebanon, Yahya bin Laden is involved in the reconstruction of downtown Beirut devastated by the civil war. In London, the group has a branch office, Bin Export. In Geneva, SECO, the Saudi investment company, is involved in many international deals. This company, established by the bin Ladens in 1980, is the flagship for the group's activities in Europe. It is headed by Islam bin Laden, and the board of directors is made up almost exclusively of members of the family clan, except for a Swiss citizen, Baudin Dunant. This well-known lawyer from French-speaking Switzerland, who was on the boards of several dozen companies, came to public notice in 1983 when he agreed to represent the Swiss banker François Genoux, a controversial figure who had been a disciple of Hitler and the sole heir of Goebbels' copyrights before becoming one of the financiers of the FLN during the Algerian War. And more about Baudin Dunant, again, who represented François Genoux when he was on trial for terrorist-related activities in 1983. This article is from Family Ties, the Bin Ladens. This is from the Sunday Herald and was authored by Neil McKay of March 31st of 2002. And of Baudin Dunant and his co-chairing of the board of directors of SECO. The Saudi investment company is chaired by Béatrice Dufour of Iranian origin and sister-in-law of one of the Bin Laden brothers, Yaslam. In 1983, her co-chairman, Baudin Dunant, represented Swiss banker François Genoux, who had helped finance Arab extremists in Algeria, and was on trial for participation in international terrorism. He also, by the way, had very, very strong links to the Odessa network. And so, again, note that the co-chairman of the board of directors of SECO, the European branch of the Saudi of the Bin Laden economic empire, Baudin Dunant represented François Genoux when he was on trial for terrorism. It has also been alleged by Ernest Backes that some of the security speculation that was apparently engaged in by investors in connection with September 11th, and which, as was the case on November 22nd, 1963, apparently yielded a very handsome profit to the conspirators. And again, I believe the Underground Reich and the Bormann Organization was involved in both events, both the assassination of President Kennedy and in September 11th. And I believe that the securities manipulations in both events was executed from an executive level by the Bormann Group. We're going to review an element of discussion from For the Record program number 357. This is from insider trading prior to the terror attacks in the U.S., speculating on terror, who profited from the attacks. It's by Rolf Bouvier and Pierre Matthias. And this is from the Bayerische Rundfunk Online of September 25th of 2001. And this was translated for us by a member of the listening audience. Financial expert Ernest Backes of Luxembourg has studied white-collar crime in the field of banking for many years. According to him, there are indications of unusual transactions with which the groups associated with Bin Laden could have earned money. You can, for example, examine whether within a certain time period there's been an attack against the securities of a given airline company. Since these securities are safe in a clearing system, unquote, you can't get an overall view who the owner was at a given time, unquote. According to Baca's information, and parenthetically I would add he helped set up the Clearstream network, according to Baca's information, the trail leads to Switzerland, to the accounts of an organization that was founded by the late lawyer François Genoux and evidently still survives. Says Baca's, quote, "One of the grounds for accusation is that this Swiss attorney had the closest connections with the Bin Laden family, that he was an advisor to the family, one of its investment bankers. It's known for certain that he supported terrorism and was the estate executor for Hitler and part of the terror milieu," unquote. Again, that from For the Record program number 357. I would note that in For the Record broadcast 335, we took a look at a Washington Post article, Stock Trades Probe for Ties to Bin Laden by William Drozdiak of the Washington Post, that from September 18th of 2001. And that mentioned Al-Taqwa as one of the organizations that was allegedly linked to the securities speculation in connection with September 11th. And again, Ernest Backes believes that the organization set up by François Genoux was a principal element in the financial activities of September 11th. One of the possibilities that needs to be investigated is that the allegations by Ernest Backes about François Genoux having set up those organizations may dovetail with allegations made in an article in the San Francisco Chronicle of March 12th of this year that alleged that Al-Taqwa was set up by François Genoux. I would note that Al-Taqwa was set up in 1988. Genoux committed suicide in 96. The article that carried these allegations is titled Swiss Probe Anti-U.S. Neo-Nazi. It's from the San Francisco Chronicle of March 12th of 2002. The article is by J. Bushinsky, B-U-S-H-I-N-S-K-Y. And the article reads in part as follows, skipping down. One of the major breakthroughs in this particular article is, again, the assertion that François Genoux may have founded Al-Taqwa. Quoting directly from the article, authorities believe Genoux founded Al-Taqwa Bank and allocated its resources to support international terrorists such as Vladimir Ilyich Ramirez, alias Carlos the Jackal, and Bin Laden, unquote. And it is not specified here who those authorities are, but it is interesting to evaluate that in connection with the allegations made by Ernest Bacchus in that Bayerischer Rundfunk excerpt that I read just a minute ago. Genoux's name also crops up in connection with one of his protégés, Jacques Vergès, who was the attorney for the Gestapo chief of Lyon, Klaus Barbie, and who also is a law partner with Isabelle Coutant-Père. Isabelle Coutant-Père has represented and is going to marry Carlos the Jackal, who also was very close to François Genoux. And Isabelle Coutant-Père is a law partner of Jacques Vergès and is the French counsel for the accused 20th hijacker, Zacharias Moussaoui. I would also note that it's alleged here that Genoux helped to finance the Ayatollah Khomeini's stay in France. Turning now once again to material from past broadcasts, and for the record, 341, we dealt with the following. This was an article titled, "It's as if he had died, Mother of Suspects Says," by David Zucchino of the LA Times, and in that article, Isabelle Coutant-Père is identified as the French counsel for Zacharias Moussaoui. They got that again from the LA Times of December 13th of 2001. And in For the Record 344, we took note of an article called "Bucking the Court Again to Marry the Jackal" by Suzanne Daly of the New York Times. They got from January 12th of 2002. And it notes that Carlos the Jackal's attorney and future wife, Isabelle Coutant-Père, is the law partner of Jacques Vergès. And again, who was a protégé of François Genoux. So again, there are numerous connections here. I would also note that François Genoux, according to the San Francisco Chronicle article, helped to finance the Ayatollah Khomeini's stay when he was in exile in France. Khomeini also very close to, on the one hand, Ahmed Huber, and also to Saeed Ramadan, head of the Muslim Brotherhood, who had recruited, among others, African-American terrorists on behalf of the Khomeini government. And indeed, Saeed Ramadan himself was alleged to have relocated at one point to Geneva to help coordinate the Muslim Brotherhood's activities with those of the Algerian FLN and François Genoux. So again, when one looks out from the Via Al-Qaeda, so to speak, when you rent the Talat Otman suite, one gazes out to the deals of Big Oil and the Texas Rangers and George W. Bush. When one rents the François Genoux suite, one gazes out to the world of international terrorism and the Third Reich. But when one begins examining Al-Taqwa, Banco del Gotardo, the Clearstream Network, Lugano, Switzerland, the headquarters for Youssef Nada and Al-Taqwa, Nada Management, also the headquarters, I believe, not incidentally, for the Thyssen-Bornemisza operation, which in turn was part of the Bush money-go-round on behalf of the Third Reich, one basically finds the same events, institutions connecting these seemingly disparate events and individuals. Again, one could say that perhaps September 11th, the Texas Rangers meet Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden. There will be a mini article-length description of For the Record 376 in the For the Record section of the Real Audio-equipped Spitfire website within a week of this broadcast. That is at www.spitfirelist.com. And in addition, there are two websites maintained by sister station WFMU-FM, which have the For the Record program available on Real Audio. More recent programs are available at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emory, one word, DaveEmory. Longer programs are available for download only at a longer URL linked to both the WFMU.org/Dave Emory website and to the Real Audio-equipped Spitfire website as well. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 376, A View from the Bridge, being recorded on September 1st of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.